I'm Robert Cervelli, and this is Future Proofing, where we explore how many communities are taking charge of their own future in the face of our increasingly fragile world. I would like to acknowledge that this podcast originates from Nova Scotia, Canada, which is part of the unceded ancestral territory of the Mi'kmaq Indigenous peoples. The territory is called Mi'kma'ki.
Good morning to the CLP community. I am Jillian Kerr, and I'm thrilled to be interviewing someone that I have a lot of respect for in the Nova Scotia area. And so I'd like to introduce Linda Best, who grew up like me on a farm in the Annapolis Valley and graduated from Acadia University, where she was involved with the QE2 Hospital in Halifax as medical microbiologist, a researcher, author, and presenter, and the director of the Capital District Health Authority. She operated apple orchards on the weekend while working at the hospital and founded the Frame Plus Arch, which grew into 3 stores, a production facility, and 10 employees. This is no shrinking violet. She helped establish Friends of Agriculture and is the founding director of FarmWorks Investment Cooperative Limited, which is a community economic development investment fund. In 2020, she was appointed to the Order of Nova Scotia, and in 2021 was presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award by the Department of Agriculture. And then I know this is a bit late, or probably my numbers aren't completely correct, Linda, but I have to date, FarmWorks has raised $4.6 million and granted over 135 loans to food-related businesses across Nova Scotia. So maybe as we, you know, you introduce yourself, you can tell me what the latest numbers are. So welcome to Linda.
Thank you, Jillian. Nice to have the opportunity to talk about FarmWorks and Nova Scotia, and yes, to update you with our most recent 12th offer of shares. We raised sufficient money that we now have $5,209,000. And that has been, the last of that money hasn't been dispersed, of course, but so far we have made loans to 152 businesses across Nova Scotia, literally from field to fork. And that's over $8 million is making a pretty substantial difference in Nova Scotia's economy. We are doing a lot of work right across the system, and it's partly the lending, but we have found that it's the addition of mentoring and promoting and raising awareness of the whole of the food system that's making the biggest difference. I would say that one of the key attributes of FarmWorks is empathy, and the fact that we may not be your typical lender. Yes, we want to know what your financial status is as you go into or grow your business, but we're very anxious to know about you, about your personality, your character, your enthusiasm, the commitment that you have to doing what you're going to do. And if those things are there, that's at the top of our review. So once we've gone through all of those other aspects, all the way from your application to your credit score, it comes down really to the individual and their enthusiasm for what they're doing. So what we have found is that the people that we have the pleasure of working with are some of the very best people in this province. It's almost like once they've gone through the whole process with us and been interviewed, hopefully in person when we get to visit their location. Sometimes over the last few years, of course, it's been by Zoom, but hopefully, once we've gone through all of that, these are very special people who fit into a vision of healthy farms, healthy food, healthy people, and healthy community, and providing food for as many people as possible across Nova Scotia.
So who would be some of your clients then? Like for people that don't know much about FarmWorks, what kind of people do you go out to try to get to apply or that do apply?
We don't very often have to go out looking for them. In fact, I don't think we've ever had to. They come to us. Right, and right. And here's a little example. We had somebody in a town in the northern part of the province apply to us a while ago. And on the Zoom call, I said, how did you happen to know about FarmWorks? And she said, well, I worked in the city and a number of restaurants, and all the best restaurants in Halifax are supported by FarmWorks. Okay, then, we like that. And so whether it's a small scale farm just starting up or a farm that's a very large farm that's been in operation for a long time, but needs some additional money to expand or for a particular project, whether it's a processing business that is, it has just, well, most, those we have actually kind of been responsible for the startup of several, such as ones that spoke at the Food Summit. Whether it's a distributor, such as somebody who has just started doing that fairly recently, a retail store, we want to see more community, local community retail operations in Nova Scotia. Challenging as that may be, small restaurants that are committed to local, and as I said, some of the very best restaurants in Nova Scotia. And the reason for the chefs is we started out with healthy farms, healthy food, because we wanted to support agriculture. But we quickly realized that food had sort of fallen off the radar. And when you know that about 50% of the calories consumed in Canada are highly processed, not lightly processed, but highly processed food. And we also know what that's doing to our health outcomes in Canada and globally. So we realized that to get food back on the table, we needed to have chefs who were talking about food. We needed to have people who are showing people what good food it can taste like. Somebody fairly recently said that when they were told that, oh, I don't like parsnips, and after the meal, I'm now going to be buying parsnips. And just by the by, I was talking with the chef last night, and we talked about root vegetables and the possibility of having a root vegetable festival, because I think that's part of why I'm still able to do what I am doing. I grew up with good, healthy food, properly prepared by a mother who was she was a really good cook, and we had all those root vegetables right through the winter. Yes, we occasionally had imported, but you know what? We can provide great food. We now have better storage capacity, for, not just for apples, but that can be extended to many other things that we can grow here. So it's been said over the last number of years that we're only producing about 15% of our own food, and that shouldn't be.
Can you explain what that is, for because not everyone would know that percentage?
So, there are an awful lot of trucks that come across the Tantramarra Marsh carrying food, not just the highly processed food, and not just the peppers and tomatoes and so on that are grown in the southern states and Mexico and further afield. Those trucks are bringing to Nova Scotia the things that we could be producing here. We lost the edge, and so now the large chain stores find it much more beneficial to their bottom line to bring food from places where the cost of production is lower. Cost of production being lower due to warmer climate is one thing, but the fact that it is planted, harvested, processed by people who they don't have the advantages that we do when it comes to education and healthcare, and they may not even have sufficient pay to provide that food for themselves. So we have a responsibility to bring some of that production at least back to ourselves. Yes, the benefits of globalization have raised some people up, but it has certainly damaged our ability to provide for ourselves here in Nova Scotia.
Well, and so, from a climate change perspective, right? Just even from a greenhouse gas perspective, we should be thinking about doing things more locally.
And I think that's what we're starting to see, because we are at an inflection point. So with regard to the 15%, we do produce milk, eggs, and chicken that we consume here in Nova Scotia. So that means that a very small portion of the fruit and vegetables and especially meat is grown, is provided here. So there are tremendous opportunities. So back in the 60s, about 60% of our food was produced here. Now it is, as I said, somewhere in the order of 15%. But people are waking up to that. We are seeing a change in across the board. And my strong belief is that everything that we can do to encourage those who have some discretionary income, to encourage them to buy even a little more local is helpful, because farmers in Nova Scotia in the last number of years have not been doing well. They're doing their best to support their employees, their communities, the businesses that are purchasing from them. Are not always the larger businesses that are purchasing from smaller scale farmers are not always appropriately remunerating them for their effort. It's unfortunate to see that if you look at the average income of farms in Nova Scotia, it's not very healthy. If you look at the incomes of the large corporations producing our food, their bottom line is extremely healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way it should be. We need to be properly providing for the people who can and are producing our food in Nova Scotia. So there's many people in the province who can only afford or can't even afford what they are buying. And there are many people who can buy whatever they want, but there's a whole lot of us who could buy more locally produced. But then, of course, we run into the issue with distribution, and so it sort of has to be stepwise. We have to be able to produce more. We have to be able to find the people to help to distribute that food. And then we have to make sure that we manage those costs, make the appropriate tools available to the people who are producing the food so that they can get those crops in the ground harvested and to the table with a margin. Many years ago, I heard a senior producer in Nova Scotia say that farming won't succeed in Nova Scotia until farmers become price makers instead of price takers. And we're not there. And it's really unfortunate. And it's very discouraging for me when I hear people who have some discretion, being rather negative about the cost of local food. And one of the things that I hope we'll be able to do this summer is look more closely at the cost of local relative to imported, and then wind into that the differential when it comes to the health, fertilizers and pesticides and so on and so forth, because good local farmers are not usually having to use the same production methods as is the case with some of the long distance food. One of the real pluses for the summer production in a place like Nova Scotia is that we're able then to eat food that's picked at the peak of ripeness rather than picked green and shipped across the country. We're not doing, for example, a few years ago, we looked at strawberries and we realized that as you see the loss of water, which is of course reversed now in California. The Central Valley of California has been providing about 25% of Canada's fruit and vegetables during the winter month. And the strawberry that comes here from California represents something like 3 gallons. One strawberry represents 3 gallons.
How much carbon, right? Like how much carbon?
Oh yeah, well. Yeah. So there's all kinds of economic, community, social, well, community and social and environmental reasons for us to do better here. Mm-hmm. So the other day I attended an event at Acadia, talking about technology and food production here. And we need to make those connections. We need to make sure that maybe not so much AI with what we're learning about AI right now. Artificial intelligence is not exactly the tool that we need in some aspects of our lives, but it is a tool that, along with others, that can help us to do better closer to home.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I had a number of questions for you too, Linda. And I think one of the first ones, again, I heard you present at our Dig In Festival or Dig In Food Summit in November in DeBert. And I think you're still involved. We're getting our post-Dig In work. We're going to be meeting at the Thinker's Lodge in Pugwash in early May. What do you see? Like, you've been in this game a long time. What do you see as some of the key challenges that we're in right now? And then, like, maybe the key opportunities, or, like, you know, where is the light coming from? Because I know there's a lot of challenges. And so just maybe your thoughts based on what the people you talk to, which are, like, you're on the ground, right?
The first one is raising awareness. As I said, we have got to persuade people that the differential, if local food, in those cases where local food does cost more, make some decisions to buy local because of the quality of that food, and because you know that when you buy local, you are supporting a better future, a better present and a better future, because you're going to encourage farmers to produce more. We need to make sure that the administration of rules and regulations is even-handed and helpful rather than challenging. And of course, as a medical microbiologist, I'm very conscious of the fact that we need safe food. However, we need to be providing the assistance to the producers to help ensure that the traceability and the safety of the food is ensured. So FarmWorks is filling a huge gap because of the fact that we need funding. And I'm able to do what I do because of the first number of years that I worked in the lab. And I walked in each day, I had somebody to show me what needed to be done in that particular lab. I had manuals to follow, and I left at the end of my years there with a pension. I wore one hat. When you are an entrepreneur, you are wearing many hats, and having to work your way around all of the issues from the research into production methods and the regulations and distribution and so on and so forth to marketing is very, very challenging. So the opportunities are for FarmWorks to not only, and other lenders, to not only provide money appropriately, but also, as I said earlier, to provide the mentoring. Sometimes it's just FarmWorks are sometimes referred to as the hugging bankers. Didn't do too much of that during the pandemic, of course, but we're able to do that now because lots of tears are shed by people who might not do that in front of a commercial banker because they know they can be very frank about the challenges they have. So the fact that we are, and that's not just the tiny farmers either, or the small restaurant. That's across the board. People need to know that they are supported, that they are appreciated. And yes, some people, certainly people who sell at farmers markets, get that from their customers. But when you're deep in a pile of you know what, it can be a pretty lonely place to be. So providing that support and making connections between the people who produce the food and the people who are buying the food is, I think, increasingly important. So we're doing that, and we are seeing that happen, and we are making connections with any other organization that has anything to do with food across the province.
And I think I was going to say you're a very special type of bank. We need to have a new model, get the RBC and TD into like hugging people. That might make things better. I guess, Linda, tell me what's bringing you the most hope. Like, I know we're talking about the challenges and what's in play. What is bringing you hope?
The people that we're working with. And the fact that there is increasing an awareness. Sadly, the increasing awareness in some cases is developing due to what's the horrible things that are happening everywhere else. When you look at what's happening just recently in Florida, that's happened across the Midwest with the tornadoes and snow last year in Texas and huge amounts of snow in California, which is, of course, helping to refill the reservoirs and will feed the places like the Central Valley. Issues in New Zealand, from whence most of our lamb comes, unfortunately. So across the whole world, climate impacts are frightening. So that does not give me hope. The fact that here's a good one. The population of the world has quadrupled during my lifetime. That I said that to somebody one day a while ago, and I after I said it, oh my goodness, I'm not so young, but I don't represent very long in the lifetime of the world. So we have a huge challenge on our hands to make sure, and we can, we're still, notwithstanding what's happening in the Ukraine, we have huge challenges on our hands to ensure that the food that is grown is grown using the right methods, and that it gets to the people who don't have it. We have the opportunity to do more, do better here in Nova Scotia, and we can be and are a little light to the rest of the world. We can't feed a huge number of people outside our own population, but we can do the best we can. And the fact that I'm able to work with people who are doing the best that they can, that gives me hope.
Well, Linda, you are an inspiration to me, and I've really enjoyed working with you on the Dig In Planning Committee, and hope that we will continue to work together in the future. But I think that's a beautiful place for us to end this podcast, unless there's any other message that you'd like to. I know you're busy doing things right now. So, okay, well then, on behalf of the Center for Local Prosperity, Bob, myself, and everyone else, we just really appreciate you taking the time to give us information and to make sure that the people, you know, connected to CLP are given the real facts and some opportunities to take what you've talked about and embed that into what we do, such as buying more local food. And as someone that doesn't like parsnips, I hope that I get to come to the Root Vegetable Festival because I would like to like parsnips. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jillian.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.